But as I look at this audience and evaluate you, probably most of you could care less about a Super Bowl. I said at the Cease's house today, where I had a very lovely dinner, I said, I have enough illnesses now where I almost qualify to live at Greenwood. Hope that doesn't discourage you at all. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them who are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Talked a little bit this morning about God's purposes for time and eternity. And we talked about that company of saints who from this age of grace, who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way and become part of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, they become part of that assembly or church. They become part of the family of God. And they come in amongst the saints of God. And as such, the Bible speaks of them as sheep. And as sheep, they need shepherds. So often, those of us who are brought up and raised in the assemblies or fellowship in the assemblies are asked the question, who is your pastor? I noticed the handicap signs out in the front, and I was joking today that they were really reserved. That was a clever way of reserving them for the pastor. But they ask us that question, don't they? Who is your pastor? And so often we make the mistake of saying, oh, we don't have any. And if we don't have any, that's sad. I would say, if I were to analyze the assemblies today, that perhaps the greatest need amongst the assembly today is for pastors, is for those who truly care for God's sheep. While it may include marrying the saints and burying the saints, there's far more to it than that, isn't there? The care of the Lord's sheep. When God spoke to the unfaithful shepherds in Israel, He told them that He would seek out and examine His sheep, and that those shepherds were accountable to Him, and that He would examine His sheep. He said, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. Remind us a little bit of the New Testament passage. It says, they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. I just want to spend a little bit of time tonight reminding us, what is the real work of shepherding? What is the responsibility of the shepherd for the sheep? But I want to close by reminding us also of the responsibility of the sheep toward the shepherd. In this passage, of course, and in Titus 1, we have the qualifications for those who desire this good work. It is a work. A lot of work. A tremendous amount of work if one really carries out the functions of caring for the Lord's sheep. Sheep simply do not care for themselves. sheep, by their very nature, need a shepherd, need the pastor. First, the shepherd must love the sheep. The Lord Jesus said, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." It requires sacrifice. You know, those who attempt to provide oversight and shepherding to the Lord's people, it is a life that requires a life of sacrifice. They're not always free to go where they want to go and do what they want to do, like the sheep are. It requires them to make a sacrifice for the sheep. Paul said that he nursed or cherished the saints at Thessalonica like they were his own children. And he said this, that when the sheep were hurting, he was hurting. That's the heart of a shepherd. If the sheep are hurting, the shepherd is hurting. It's hard for a shepherd to just stand by and watch sheep who are hurting. My wife, who came with me tonight, she's my emergency chauffeur. In case in my driving I find I can't do it, she's there to take me the rest of the way. But she was reading to our granddaughter, Rachel, a book that we're all familiar with about Mary Had a Little Lamb. And it ends like this. Why does the lamb love Mary so? And it ends this way. Why Mary loves the lamb, you know? And Mary loved that lamb so much that the sheep loved Mary. And so the shepherd must love the sheep. Those who desire to do this work must have a love for the people of God, for the sheep of God, a deep concern for the condition and welfare and growth and spiritual prosperity of the Lord's people. Secondly, they must know the sheep. In Proverbs it says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks." The Lord Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." I think the Lord knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. And I think that shepherds who love the sheep and really know the sheep sometimes can tell when the sheep are sick before the sheep know they're sick. They know them that well. And that takes time, doesn't it, to really know the sheep, to be acquainted with them. They're also to protect the sheep. David did this, didn't he? Putting himself between the enemy and the sheep. And today, perhaps, this is one of the greater tasks of the shepherds. There is so much that is false, so much that is dangerous, so much that would harm the sheep, that the sheep are unaware of, that the shepherd must step in between and protect the sheep. We find today that in the lives of many of those who are in oversight, particularly in recent decades, much of their time has been simply eaten up protecting the sheep from that which has been going around in the church today. Paul said he warned the saints at Ephesus for 3 years, day and night. He was an alert shepherd, and he was protecting the sheep. They must also lead the sheep. They must guide the sheep. And primarily, they must guide the sheep by example. They must be a model. The Pharisees in the Lord's day were negative models, if I could put it that way. The Lord said, do what they tell you to do, but don't do what they do. And the oversight and the shepherds and the pastors amongst the Lord's people today must be models. The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And so the overseer, the pastor, the shepherd must be that model. Peter said, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. The shepherd goes before the sheep. He guides them. They follow. Paul said, you became followers of us. Paul said that we labor day and night to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. And so the shepherds are to be guides, to be models that the saints, that the sheep can follow. Paul said to the Philippian saints, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul wasn't simply saying, do what I do, or do what I say, but do what you see me do. And they guide, and they're a model to the sheep. And in the New Testament, the primary model is one of a serving shepherd. So often in the religious circles, you know, when they think of bishops and pastors, they think of one who is above the flock, and the flock kind of carries out their wishes and their directives, and the sheep serve the shepherd. That's not the New Testament model. The New Testament model is that the shepherds serve the sheep. They are to care for the sheep. If we were, we won't take the time. If you go back to Ezekiel, we would find that God outlines the things that were not being done by the false shepherds. He said, there are weak sheep that need to be strengthened. I don't know everyone here tonight in an intimate way, in the sense of knowing your daily spiritual condition. But it wouldn't be surprising that in a group this large, there's some weak sheep. Struggling with difficulties, problems, temptations, things that would weaken them in the faith, and they need to be strengthened. It said sick sheep need to be restored. Those sheep that we would say are spiritually sick, where sin has come into the life, and there needs to be restoration. Broken sheep. Sheep that have been driven away need to be brought back. It's sad, isn't it, sometimes that sheep come into our midst and things are said, not intentionally or even the way they're taken. But sometimes they can be driven away. And the shepherds need to go after them to find them, to bring them back. And then there are sheep that have wandered, he said. Those who have turned away from the things of God. Those who have gone off into the world like Demas. Who are taken up with this present age. And it's the oversight responsibility to search them out and to bring them back to a place of safety. Paul said this about Timothy. He said, I have no one like-minded who will care for your state. It's quite a testimony. Timothy is the only one who's referred to as a man of God in the New Testament. And the thing about him was he would care for the state of the Lord's sheep. Paul did this as well, of course. And then it is the responsibility of the shepherds to make sure that the sheep are fed well. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, you remember, as Peter was being restored, feed my sheep. You know, what we eat is important. You realize sin came into the world because Adam and Eve ate wrong. And what the Lord's people are eating is very important. And unfortunately today, and I don't mean today meaning this particular date, but this age, this time, many of the Lord's people are eating improperly, spiritually speaking. And it's the shepherd's role and responsibility to be sure they are fed well. Peter says this, shepherd or feed the flock of God which is among you. God said to the shepherds in the Old Testament, woe to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you kill them that are fattened, but ye feed not the flock. And so as we look at this function, you see that it is a lot of work and a great responsibility. Quite frankly, and I think those who, and I say, attempt to provide oversight according to the New Testament pattern, today are often overwhelmed with the responsibility and the demands upon them. Because of the condition of the world and the condition of the church. There's a great need today. I don't know again specifically about this assembly, but I can tell you there's a great need today amongst the Lord's people for godly shepherds who will live a life of sacrifice, who will give up their life for the sheep, who will know the sheep and love the sheep and care for the sheep and protect the sheep and feed the sheep. There's a great need. It's a great work. Peter said, you may not be appreciated, but there's a day coming when the chief shepherd shall come and you'll receive a crown. If God should call, and we know from Acts 20:28 that we don't make shepherds, we don't make pastors, the Holy Spirit does. Paul clearly said to the elders at Ephesus that the Holy Spirit had raised them up. And if the Holy Spirit should call one to a life of work, a life of devotion, a life of caring, a life of feeding, a life of protection, a life of sacrifice, it is a good work that you're called to. And I would encourage you, if that be the case, that you heed the call. The need is urgent. There is a great need today for such men. But often when we speak about shepherds and oversight and pastors, we think only of all the things that we just spoke about. And it's overwhelming. It really is. I am not in oversight in the York Assembly because of other responsibilities, but I have been in oversight in a previous assembly. And it is an awesome task. But I want to just take a few moments for the remaining portion, perhaps not even going to the end tonight, just to bring before us some of the responsibilities of the sheep for the shepherds. It's not a one-sided coin. It's just not all the shepherd's responsibility. The sheep have responsibilities too. You know, many sheep, and this is our nature, isn't it? Many sheep murmur about the shepherds, but they do little to help them. I, again, don't know the condition here in this assembly, but I can tell you from my limited travels that I rarely hear them pray for. You think of all the responsibilities we just talked about. The accountability of God's sheep is placed upon them. They must give an account for our souls. Would we want to have that responsibility? And if we honestly think about what that entails, should we not pray for them? They're probably rarely encouraged. Perhaps we might ask, when's the last time I encouraged someone in oversight? When is the last time I went to one of them and expressed some understanding of the responsibility that is theirs, and that I appreciate whatever effort they are attempting to make, and perhaps even saying that you would pray for them? We live in a self-centered world. This self-centered world says, serve me, wait on me, meet my needs. And we are so aware of how the shepherds and the pastors and the elders are meeting our needs, or if they're not meeting our needs, that we forget that they have needs. They're in need of encouragement. They're in need of support. They're in need of prayer. You see, these under-shepherds, that's what they are. The sheep are not theirs. It's really a very unscriptural thing for a man to say, my church or my sheep. For they're the Lord's sheep, and it's the Lord's church. And they are simply under-shepherds. And the truth is, they're imperfect men. The truth is, they are men, like the rest of us. They have their shortcomings. They have their problems, in one form or another. And yet they have this great responsibility of caring for the Lord's sheep. They need our support. They need our prayers. They need our encouragement. Just a few things that the Bible would say concerning the sheep and the shepherds. First of all, I would suggest that the sheep should recognize the shepherds. The Lord said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Paul says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. There's a need to get acquainted with them, to be conscious of them, to be aware of them, to sense their responsibility and our responsibility toward them. You know, one of the qualifications here for the overseer in 1 Timothy 3 is that he is given to hospitality. But let me ask, when is the last time that we have been hospitable toward the elders? In other words, we put the responsibility of all the responsibility of the overseers to have all the hospitality, perhaps, and rarely do we have them in our homes. Somehow we isolate them. It's their responsibility to have me or the saints or the sheep, but we rarely have them in our homes. And wouldn't it be a great opportunity to get to know them, to appreciate them, to get some insight into their own needs so that we can pray more intelligently? We need to recognize them. We need to come to an understanding that God has raised them up. That God has given them to us. These imperfect men, yes. But God has given them to us. And they have a great responsibility. And we need to recognize them and that fact. Secondly, I think Scripture would teach us that we need to respect them. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says this, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. In other words, esteem means to value, to put importance in. Paul said, in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem other better than ourselves. In other words, let us put more value in other people than our own self. But we need to do this with the overseers. It said, put value in them, esteem them. Those that are often murmured against, those that perhaps in a world where leadership is ridiculed, it says, these shepherds who are sacrificially living for the sheep, serving the sheep, feeding the sheep, protecting the sheep, they need to be, in our eyes, in the eyes of the sheep, seen with some value. The writer of Hebrews says, remember them that have the rule over you, those who lead. We need to put value in overseers. We need to put value in godly shepherds. They are critical to the Lord's people. Timothy said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. And so we need to recognize them and we need to respect them. Thirdly, we need to respond to them. Hebrews 13:7 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Peter says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, I realize in that passage, that particular verse, the elder there is not the overseer. It would include the overseers, but it includes the fact that the younger is to be submissive to the older one in general. Because the older ones need that respect, and the younger ones have a tendency of rebelling and not respecting those who are older. But isn't it true that we need to respect and respond to those who are over us? You know how difficult it is to attempt to provide leadership to an assembly that is filled with murmuring, contesting, testing everything, questioning everything. It's extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. Submit means to resist no longer, to yield, to arrange yourself under. Many times there are Absaloms in an assembly who will go about attempting to gather a following, perhaps promising and everything opposite of what the oversight has suggested the assembly do. We need to be those who understand, who recognize them, respect them, and respond to their leadership. That doesn't mean that we throw away the Word of God. It doesn't mean that, you know, if for some reason the oversight was taking us down a path that was contrary to the Word of God, of course the Word of God must have precedence. But so often the areas in which we get testy with the oversight and we contest the oversight and we murmur about the oversight are not things that are even laid out for us in the Word of God. Think of their responsibility. In fact, the Scripture tells us, you know, the overseer should take this function upon himself willingly. And then it encourages the sheep to be cooperative so that that function, that work, goes so much smoother. Lastly, it says to remember them. Remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. It's sad but true, isn't it? And this comes from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Those that often labor amongst us, who live sacrificially, who serve sacrificially, who care for the sheep, who give of their time and their energy, are often those who are not remembered. The Word of God says, remember them. And I would think that in the idea of remember them, certainly is the idea of when you remember them, pray for them. Pray for them. I would like to urge you, as an assembly, to make it a priority to pray for those who provide oversight to the assembly and to those who provide oversight in other assemblies. Is that critical today? Remember them. And the Word of God even goes on to say that we may come into a situation where we ought to even recompense them. I believe it's biblical, if necessary, and it may well be, as things get darker, that shepherds, pastors, overseers, because of such a demand upon them, may have to give up what we call secular employment. The demand could be that great with regard to really serving the Lord's people in accordance with the Word of God, that one may have to give of his time completely to doing that. And if that's the case, it's proper for the assembly then to support that individual in doing that work. Paul said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And I believe in that passage of Scripture in Timothy, 1 Timothy 5, at least I think we can find the pattern and the principle that it would be right, if necessary, for the saints to recompense the one who is doing the work. It's not always the condition. It may be in a given assembly or in a given situation. But at least it ought to be our mindset that if it's necessary, we're willing. In essence, Paul said this, it's the worker's right to refuse support, but it's not the right of the saints to refuse to support the worker. It's the worker's right to refuse support, but it is not the saint's right to refuse to support the worker. And so if necessary, if shepherding of the Lord's people, and we have seen briefly so great the demand, if necessary, I believe it's proper and biblical to recompense them for that work. So what can we do as sheep? We can recognize them. Consciously, openly, recognize them as men that God has raised up to provide leadership to the assembly. We can respect them rather than murmuring against them. We can honor them as those that God has called to do such an important work. We can respond to them. We can follow their guidance and obey them. We can remember them, encourage them, pray for them, and if necessary, we can recompense them. It's a great work. I don't think that the great majority of sheep fully understand the load, the burden, that's upon the shepherds today. We need more shepherds. And may we be praying that God will raise them up to guide His sheep. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we thank You for the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who laid down His life for us, that we might have life,